chapter number 11 this morning, Psalms 11. And I want to bring a patriotic type message this morning that God has laid upon my heart. And He spoke to me about preaching this morning. And so that's the direction we're going. Psalms chapter 11. And we're going to start there in verse number 1. When you found it, you can say amen and I'll know that you're there. All right, not hard to find this morning. Open your Bible up the middle and you should be in the book of Psalms. And so Psalms chapter number 11, verse number 1 says this, "In the Lord put I my trust. How say ye to my soul? Flee as a bird to your mountain. For lo, the wicked bend their bow. They make ready their arrow upon the string, that they may privily shoot at the upright in heart. If the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? The Lord is in His holy temple. The Lord's throne is in heaven. His eyes behold, His eyelids try the children of men. The Lord trieth the righteous, but the wicked and him that loveth violence his soul hateth. Upon the wicked he shall rain snares, fire, brimstone, and horrible tempest. This shall be the portion of their cup. For the righteous Lord loveth righteousness, and his countenance doth behold the upright." We're going to take our text now to verse number 3, where it says, "If the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do?" I'm going to preach on that thought, if the foundations be destroyed, if the foundations be destroyed. Let's pray. Father, I pray you bless the word this morning. And God, what a privilege it is to stand here in this pulpit, to stand here in the house of God and proclaim the word of God to a free people, God, in a free nation, where we can freely believe as we please and do as we see fit. And God, we are thankful for that freedom that you've given us this morning. And God, thankful for our forefathers who, Lord, spilled their blood and gave their capital, gave their life, gave everything they have, that we might enjoy these freedoms some 230 some years later. And God, we thank you for that and pray that you'd bless the word of God this morning that makes men free. Speak to our hearts and bless the Lord what the Bible says. And God, we'll ask it now that you bring conviction, do what's necessary, and we'll ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, this morning as I preach on this thought, if the foundations be destroyed, if the foundations be destroyed. Now we know that the strength of any building is its foundation. You have these commercials on TV, Alabama Foundation Specialist, right? And all this stuff about failing foundations. And because when the foundation fails, we know what happens. The building falls apart. And there's just no doubt about it. And if the foundation gives, then the building gives. And we learned that from 9/11 and the attacks on the World Trade Center. But we knew that already because we have a Bible. And thank God the Bible says something about the foundation and how important it is. If you look in Matthew chapter number 7, Matthew 7 this morning, and in verse number 24, Jesus gives a parable on the foundation and how important it is. Matthew 7 and verse number 24, the Bible says therefore whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man that built his house upon a rock. Now, when you know that you're building the building, they go down to the bedrock to build it because the foundation is so important. The rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon the house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. The rain descended, the floods came, the winds blew and beat upon the house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. And it came, and Jesus Christ made it very clear here. Hey, when you build upon the rock, you got a strong foundation. When you build upon the sand, you don't have anything. And so how important is the foundation this morning? And he likened it unto the word of God and hearing God's sayings. The Bible says that righteousness exalt the nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. But I tell you in 2015 that the foundations are under attack, and we know that that's true. Secular humanism, which is evolution and atheism and materialism, has done a good job at attacking the foundation, saying, well, there is no God. If evolution's true, then there is no God. But I tell you this morning that evolution is not true. Amen. Evolution is the biggest lie that was ever fabricated. And the fact of the matter is, Charles Darwin denounced evolution before his death. He said, that's a lie. I made it up. It's false. But yet that lie stuck on the wall and hadn't come off him since then, right? To think that as complex as we are, that thing could have happened on accident. Just the fact, if you look at the human eye, you know we cannot duplicate the human eye to this day? You say, why? Because it's too complex. And to think that happened by accident. It didn't happen by accident. The human eye was created by design. And we can't duplicate it because it was a divine design. But secular humanism and atheism, they've done a good job of convincing people that there is no God. And what a sad thing it is. And it's undermined the foundations of our society. I tell you, if our founding fathers had been atheists or secular humanists, we would not be where we are today. We would not have the United States of America. We would not have a free nation. Because people of that ilk produce nothing. People of that ilk do nothing. And God's blessings are not upon it. Materialism is not what made our nation great. If you've ever, usually Sister Grace will read the record of our founding fathers and of what took place, those men who signed the Constitution and what they gave up. They were men of means, men of wealth, men of education. And when they signed the Declaration of Independence, it was their death sentence, and they lost all they had, their wealth, their finances, their families. Because they weren't concerned about that. They were more concerned with freedom than they were finances. And God blessed America. But today, materialism abounds. And it's all about the Benjamins. It's all about the dollars. We can't make good decisions because it's based upon, hey, what's it going to cost me if I do? I'm glad this last week I am not a Donald Trump fan. I am not. I think he's a nut job. I think he's a nut case. I really do. But you know what? I'm glad that he said, bless God, I'm not apologizing for what I said. And you can take it all away. This is where I stand. Hats off to him. Hey, some of the things he said about illegal immigration and everything else that's taking place in our nation are some true statements that he made. I'm tired of people who say what's right and then apologize all over the place for it. But see, the foundations are under attack. Hey, when Patrick Henry and John Hancock, when John Hancock put his thing on the Declaration of Independence, he signed it so big, he said, I want King George to be able to read it. Can you imagine if he was a man that was going to apologize and worried about losing his wealth and worried about losing his place? Can you imagine that we wouldn't have an America today? But see, the foundations are under attack. And the psalmist said, if the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? It's under attack from secular humanism, evolution, atheism, materialism. But what about this? Sinfulness in the home and society at large. Boy, we live in an X-rated society, do we not? And most homes today are X-rated homes, and sex, drugs, and rock and roll is what prevails in our society. And the foundations are under attack. My goodness, of our forefathers and men of old, if you even went back to 1950, the horror of what's taking place in our nation today, they would drop over dead to see what's taking place. And what's taking place, not only in society, but what's taking place when it comes to the house of God. When there's no separation in the house of God, in the pulpit or in the pew, you know we got problems. You say, what's happening? The foundation's under attack. The foundation's under attack. In Ohio, Brother Vic and the church up there, they're getting ready to buy, and they have this opportunity to buy a building. The church they're going to buy is called the Mosaic Church. And we got to go up there and look at the building and see what it was like, the building they're interested in buying. It's a great facility. They got a lot going on. But you know what their motto was at their church? It was fellowship, family, and fun. You know what they had in every Sunday school room? They had Xboxes in every Sunday school room. You know what they have in the foyer of the church? They got the barista where you can have any kind of thing you want. They got the big screen TV where you can play video games. And when you go into the church auditorium, the walls are painted black and they have a few little lights in there and they got a rock and roll band on the pulpit. The baptistry is completely covered up. And I'm thinking to myself, what would God think if He came into a place like that? Well, the problem is God doesn't go in there. That's not a church. That's a bar is what it is. It's a rock and roll thing. It's a show place. And I think to myself, something's going wrong in our nation. The foundation's under attack. Can you imagine if some of these great preachers of old, can you imagine if Dr. Robertson went in a place like that, what he would think? Can you imagine if D.L. Moody went into a place like that, what he would think? Can you imagine if Charles Spurgeon went into a place like that, what he would think? He'd think, we are falling apart. But see, that has become the norm and not the exception. What we have here today is becoming the what? The exception. They say, what is wrong with you? Why do you have lights on in the church building? I think it's dark in here myself. But can you imagine if we took all the light bulbs out, but one light bulb in every one of those things? What it would be like in here? That's right, a nightclub. What do you do in a nightclub? You sure don't read your Bible. How could you possibly see in a church where they have no lights to look at a Bible? All you have then is the preacher's word. And he has long hair and earrings and tattoos, and I don't think I want to be taking his word for anything. I mean, my goodness, have we come that far? Now, I'm not being mean here this morning, but what happens when the foundations be destroyed? I'll tell you, the building crumbles. And things are crumbling across our nation. Things are crumbling across our churches in America. And it's a sad thing. Now, I believe this, and I believe it's true. That there's a foundation, there's three things that undergird the foundation of our nation. The first one is freedom, and that's our government. The second one is family, and that's our home. And the third thing is the fellowship, and that's the church. And that's what I'm going to preach on this morning. If the foundations be destroyed, the first foundation I want to mention this morning is the foundation of freedom. Amen. Thank God for freedom this morning. John 8:32, if you'll look there, you know these verses, but I want you to look at them this morning. John 8 and verse number 32, some of the greatest words that Jesus spoke in verse 32, He said this, "And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." And then in verse number 36, He said, "If the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed." Thank God we have freedom this morning. Separation of church and state was never meant to make the state free from the church. It was to make the church free from the state. Bobby Jindal said that the other day. And he said, I'm going to say it real slow so even Hillary Clinton can understand it. He said, the church is not for the government, but the government was made to assist the church. And amen. And that's true. And our founding fathers believed that with everything that was inside of them. The only reason we have freedom in government is because our founding fathers knew the freedom of Jesus Christ in their hearts. And that's why they etched it in stone. You know, it's funny, if you've ever been to Washington, D.C., you know what, when you go to the Supreme Court, you know what you see? The Ten Commandments. You know why they put it in stone? Because they didn't want anybody taking it down. You understand what I'm saying? I wonder why the ACLU has never gone to the Supreme Court and asked them to take their Ten Commandments down. Because they'd have to knock down the buildings, what they'd have to do. Everywhere, if you walk around Washington, D.C., there's scripture etched in stone. The Bible's etched in stone. There's Moses. I mean, you name it. It's all over the place throughout our capital. And I know because I've been there in person to see it. It's at the Supreme Court. It's at the Rotunda where Congress is. It's at the Lincoln Memorial. It's at the White House. Everywhere you go, you see Bible verses. But today, freedom's under attack. And our form of government is also. Ten Commandments, prayer, Bible, nativity scenes. They're becoming illegal, are they not? But what happens if the foundations are being destroyed? What happens when the foundation's gone? The building crumbles. You have to know something's wrong when the prayer room in Congress became a bar. When you can no longer pray in Jesus' name if you're a government chaplain, we're in serious trouble. You say, what is to follow? Tyranny. What follows when you take away freedom that comes from God is tyranny is what follows. And oppression of the people. The Bill of Rights is under attack. You say, what is that? Freedom of speech. I love that. They say, you can't say that. Whatever happened to freedom of speech? Why is it that the Sodomites have freedom of speech, but we don't? Why is it, hey, that the atheists of this world have, the Bill Maher's of this world have freedom of speech, but we don't? Why is it that every God-forsaken pervert in this world has freedom of speech and we don't? Because the foundation's under attack. And what are we going to do when the foundation of our society is destroyed? What are we going to do when you can't stand on the street corner and say, the Bible says, for God so loved the world! And you quote John 3:16 and they put you in handcuffs because they call it hate speech. I was preaching one day in Indianapolis back in 1997, and all I was doing was quoting John 3:16. And this idiot from Canada come over and start pushing me around. I said, what's your problem, buddy? He says, you have no right to spew that hate on this street. I said, hate? John 3:16 is hate? For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. That's hate speech? And that was in 1997. See, we don't have any more street preachers nowadays, do we? There's no street preachers in Chattanooga. None. None. When's the last time you seen anyone street preach in Chattanooga, except for the crazy lady down there over there at UTC. There's no street preachers in Chattanooga. We haven't seen anybody preaching in Chattanooga in years. And we all have to hang our head in shame and say, God help us, we're the blame. We talk about it, but we don't do it. You say, why? Because the foundation's being destroyed. The foundation's been destroyed. And what are the righteous going to do? You can't mutter or peep anything about Jesus Christ in our society, or they act like something's wrong with you. But if you're a deviant, if you're a God hater, if you're a devil worshiper, hey, if you're a Muslim, I mean, they're instituting, as we speak, Muslim prayers and having people saying them in the public schools. But you better not mention the name of Jesus Christ. I told you when they had the graduation at Chattanooga State, they told the Christian lay, you can pray, but don't you use the name of Jesus Christ. Whatever happened to freedom of speech? Whatever happened to the Bill of Rights? It's under attack. It's under attack. Freedom to carry and bear arms. You don't think that's under attack? It's coming. It's under attack. Freedom of religion. Isn't it funny? We got the foundation for freedom from religion. But whatever happened to freedom of religion? You see, the foundation is being destroyed in our society. Jesus said, if the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. The Bible says you shall know the truth, and the truth shall what? Make you free. But the foundations are being destroyed. Freedom is a foundation. And when freedom's gone, life will change drastically. How about this one? The family. The family, the home, the structure of the home. We all know that the Supreme Court passed their landmark decision on same-sex marriage. And now sodomy is the order of the day. You know society's crumbling when two men can get married, or two women can get married, or a man and a dog can get married, or a woman and a dolphin can get married, or people, hey, what's next? They're going to be marrying their sons and their daughters. That's what's next. Because if all love is good and right, then it doesn't matter what you love. The foundation's under attack. And God help us to stand up against these perverts in the day in which we live, and they're perverts. Foundations crumbling. The single-parent home has been the destruction of our nation. The latchkey children. Loss of identity. Strong homes produce strong nation. Weak homes produce a what? A weak nation. Our nation's weaker today than it's ever been because the foundation's crumbling. When our form of government crumbles and the family begins to crumble, we're in trouble. How do you know that? Two-thirds of all marriages end in divorce now. It's over 70% of all marriages end in divorce. We got a serious problem. That's why God says in Malachi 2, verse 16, if you'll look there this morning, God does say something about this, but divorce is a terrible thing, and I know we have folks that are divorced, but the fact of the matter is, it's a terrible thing. Malachi 2 says this, in verse number 16, Malachi 2, we'll look at verse 14. Yet ye say, wherefore, because the Lord hath been witness between thee and the wife of thy youth, against whom thou hast dealt treacherously, yet is she thy companion and the wife of thy covenant, and did not he make one, yet have he the residue of the Spirit, wherefore one, that he might seek a godly seed. Therefore take heed to your spirit, let none deal treacherously against the wife of his youth, for the Lord, the God of Israel, saith that he hateth putting away, for one covet violence with his garment, saith the Lord of hosts. Therefore take heed to your spirit, that ye deal not treacherously. God hates putting away. But putting away is the order of our day. Isn't it sad when the only time marriage is important when two men or two women are doing it? They pronounced on the news not that long ago that the institution of marriage is over. Well, if it is, then why is all this stuff so important to the Supreme Court? I mean, if the institution of marriage is over, then why do we got to worry about it? See, the foundation's crumbling. The foundations are crumbling. And our nation's falling apart. If the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? Think about this for a minute. You know, the Bible says so much about the home. You say, why? Because it's a place of safety, stability, structure, satisfaction, and schooling. You say, schooling? Yeah, train up a child in the way he should go when he's old, not depart from it. You say, is there hope for our nation? There's always hope for our nation. And it begins with teaching our children the way that is right and leading them in the paths of righteousness. Leading by our example and not just our advice. Let's look at the last one this morning. And this is the most important, not the most important, but it's the underlying foundation. It's the fellowship and it's the church. Our beliefs this morning, our Christian beliefs across this nation are under attack. Everything that we hold dear and believe is right is what is under attack this morning and what is being pecked at little by little, little by little. And it begins with this Bible. We read that verse in Matthew. He said, I will liken on everyone unto those that hear these sayings of mine and doeth them. You see, it begins with this Bible that I hold in my hand this morning, this book. It was George Washington that said, the Bible is the rock on which the Republic stands. Can I ask you which Bible he was talking about? That's right. Were there more than one Bible when he penned these words? There was more than one Bible. There were other Bibles out there. But he rejected them flatly. It was a King James Bible. And that's the Bible that's under attack today. The cults and the Bible correctors and the ACLU. I mean, you think about that. The thing that's under attack is this Bible we hold in our hand. Why is it that you can buy, and I've said it before, why is it that you can buy a NIV that looks just like this and get it for $15 and this one costs $75? Why is it that you go to the bookstore and man, they're a dime a dozen. You can get them for $5, $6, leather bound. I mean, gold trim on them, highlighted. Why does a little King James Bible cost $39? That's right, because it's the truth. And the devil's doing everything he can to destroy the foundation. Everything he can to undermine the truth in this book in which we hold. The book that I hold in my hand. You see, what's the fundamental basis, the foundation of our church this morning as we preach? It's this book. And our faith in Jesus Christ. But we get our faith in Jesus Christ from where? From this book. And it's what's under attack. You're in Psalms. If you look there in Psalms, you're in Psalms chapter number 11. Look in Psalms chapter number 12. And notice what it says in verse 6. The words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord, thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. Now, what does that word them refer to? The words of God. Every new translation changes that to say that it's talking about the child of God and not the Word of God. That pronoun them refers to the words of God, verse number 6. In Proverbs 30 and in verse number 5 and 6, I tell you, the Word is under attack this morning. And God knew that one day it would be. Proverbs 30. And it's always been under attack. Wasn't it the devil that said, yea, hath God said? Are you sure he meant that, Eve? Are you sure he said that you couldn't have this tree? Proverbs 30 verse 5 says, every word of God is pure. He's a shield unto them that put their trust in Him. Add thou not unto His words, lest He reprove thee, and thou be found a liar. Oh, I think I'd be careful when it comes to new translations. Revelation 22:19, I read it yesterday as I finished reading my Bible. Revelation 22:19 says, and if any man shall take any from the words of this book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city and from the things which are written in this book. You know what I say? You better be careful. Because God ain't playing around. But the foundation's under attack. And the devil challenges the credibility and the correctness and the confidence that we have in the Bible. When he says, yea, hath God said. It really doesn't mean that. Are you sure that's what it means? Psalms 119:18 says, the entrance of thy word giveth light. Why do you think our founding fathers were able to do what they did? Because they prayed and they read the Bible and they sought God's direction and God made a nation. But the book's under attack. The very Bible we hold in our hands. They say, you don't need to bring a Bible to church. We'll tell you what it says. I think that's how we ended up in the Dark Ages, right? I don't think I want anyone to tell me what it says. I want God to tell me what it says. You got a Bible? Read it for yourself. Find out what God's trying to tell you. They had a thing on Charles Manson this week. And he told his followers that he was Jesus Christ. And that he had come to set them free. And he had those people follow him and doing anything he wanted them to do. Including murder people. You say, how did they get so brainwashed? Because they didn't have a Bible. They couldn't read it for themselves. He said, let me tell you what you need to know. Let me tell you something. Every time a man tells you, let me tell you what you need to know, you better run. You know, it's kind of like the health care law. You know, Nancy Pelosi, oh, you'll like it when you find out what's in it. We ain't liked it yet. And we ain't going to like it. We still don't like it. And wait. Just wait. Till the next couple years when it really kicks in. And then we all find out how much it's really going to cost us. My health insurance is going nothing but up. And I have a $6,000 deductible. And they say by 2016... it will likely double. Now, can you imagine paying $1,000 a month and still have a $6,000 deductible? But you'll like it when you find out what's in it. Let's just pass it. It's good. It's good. It's good. You know, it's kind of like the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Yeah, it's good. Satan's selling it. Oh, yeah, wait till you get a hold of that. You'll feel better than you. You'll be a new person. Was Eve a new person? Oh, yeah, she was a new person. Oh, yeah, she was a new person. So was Adam, but not the person they were. They lost everything. You see, how about you read it for yourself? You know why the foundation's so being destroyed in America? Because Christians ain't reading it for themselves anymore. And they'll go sit in the dark and let some idiot tell them what he thinks it says. We had a lady and I went to work with years ago, and I was just thinking about Judy, and I want to say her name was, golly, I just forgot her name, but the two girls worked together in the at John Harlan Company. They worked in the bindery. I worked on their printing press, and they went to the Sharonville Church of God, and Brother Weaver was the pastor, and Brother Weaver, man, he was a piece of work. And he'd tell them, you know, I'll tell you what the Bible says. You don't need to, you know, you don't need to, I have all the truth. You don't try and figure out any truth for yourself. And what he ended up doing, he ran away and stole $2 million and hit the road and sold all the properties, right? They come back into church, worked that one day, and I was talking to them, and boy, their lives were turned upside down on their head. And I said, well, you still got your Bible? She said, no, I threw it away. Because everything in my Bible was the gospel according to Brother Weaver. You see the problem there? Let me tell you, if you can't interpret truth through the Holy Ghost working in your life, we got a serious problem. That's how Jim Jones came to power. That's how Adolf Hitler came to power. That's how Osama bin Laden came to power. You say, why? Because the faithful don't know anything themselves. See, you understand why this book's under attack? Because it's the foundation of everything we believe. It's the foundation of the church. But the blood of Jesus Christ. That Bible says in 1 Peter 1:18 that we were not redeemed with corruptible things such as silver and gold from our vain conversation, but with the precious blood of Jesus Christ as a lamb without spot slain from the foundation of the world. Think about that for a minute. The precious blood of Jesus Christ is precious, is perfect, is power. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. The price of our redemption. The Bible says, for you are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body, which is Christ. Hebrews 9:22 says, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. You say, what do the new versions do? They remove it. They repudiate it. And they replace it. Thank God for the blood of Jesus Christ. That was shed on Calvary so you and I could go to heaven when we die and escape a devil's hell. People talk about, they say, oh, why do we got to talk about that the cross? Why do we got, people say the cross is so repugnant. That's right. That's why it's called the reproach of the cross. It was never meant to be a beautiful thing. It was never meant to be a politically correct thing. It was never meant to be something that... It was meant to show people how Christ suffered in our place so we could go to heaven. But it's under attack this morning. Say, can't you preach on something that's a little nicer? Why you got to tell people they're going to hell? Because that's where they're going. They're going to hell. Jesus said, how can you escape the damnation of hell? Say, can't you make it a little softer? Are you kidding me? That's why we're in so much trouble. Because if the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? Do you think John the Baptist gave a softer message? I mean, really, when he went there to Herod and said, well, Herod, let me just tell you softly, you know, you're married to your brother's wife and, you know, that's probably not a good thing. And you know, what'd he say? Hey, you reprobate, you're going to hell. You're not allowed to have her. and it got his head cut off. But see, the foundation's under attack, is it not? If the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? What is America going to be 20 years from now? If things continue the way they're going, it will be Sodom and Gomorrah all over again. It'll be the days of Noah, and you know it's true, and we're at the door. The blessed hope. You say, what is that? That's the coming of Jesus Christ. Looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Is that faith and belief not under attack? The comedians make fun. Oh, sure he's coming. We've been hearing that for 1,000 years. Let me tell you something. That in itself is biblical prophecy. 2 Peter 3, the Bible says this. Peter speaking this second epistle, beloved, I write now unto you, and both which I stir up your pure minds by the way of remembrance, that ye may be mindful of the words which are spoken before of the holy prophets, and the commandment of the apostles of our Lord and Savior, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers walking of their own lust, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. For this they willingly are ignorant of that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of water and in the water, whereby the world that was then was being overflowed with water perished. What is that? The flood of Noah. But the heavens and earth, which are now by the same who are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment, perdition of ungodly men. But beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day with the Lord is 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promises, as some men count slackness, but is long suffering to us, whereof not one that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with a fervent heat, and the earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for the hastening of the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with a fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to promise, look for new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. Say, what are you looking for? I'm looking for the God of heaven. I'm looking for the God of heaven. But see, the book and the blood and the blessed hope are under attack. I was thinking about this and I wanted to say it, and I forgot it, and then it came back to me. You know, it's funny, when you go to public school, they take away the Bible, right? And as soon as you get to prison, they give it back to you. That's true. You go to prison, the first thing they give you is a Bible. What do the prison know that the public school doesn't? That's right. Only God can change a person's life. You say, what is the only hope for our nation? It's God. It's Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Could God send revival to our nation? Yes, He could. But you got to want it. And you got to be willing to repair the foundation. You know what? Rebuilding the foundation begins. It begins at your house, and your house, and your house, and your house, and your house. You see, that's where you begin building the foundation. You say, how to repair the foundation of the church? By rebuilding your foundation at your home. You see, if you will work on the things at your house, then when you come here, when we come here, church will be a different place. And when your house is a different place and church is a different place, society becomes a different place. You know why East Lake was so great years ago? Because of Highland Park. It was Highland Park that made East Lake so great. And downtown Chattanooga so great. Do you realize? You say, well, East Ridge is going the wrong direction. Yes and no. I tell you that Fellowship Baptist Church could make East Ridge a great place. I tell you where you live in North Georgia that it could be a great place. But you know what? It starts with your home. And it starts with that Bible that I just got done preaching out of. You get out on your knees and pray and read that Bible and start walking with God, and your home will be a great place. And you begin to teach those children and to train them up and to testify to your neighbors about your faith in Jesus Christ. And I mean, and when they see that your foundation's being repaired and that you're getting things together in your life, it will back up everything you're telling them. Because the foundation's got to be repaired. Sister Tamla got a great opportunity this week to go witness at the jail, and some ladies were saved. But you know what? They're rebuilding the foundation in their lives. You say they got a long way to go. They do. But they're rebuilding the foundation. How do you rebuild a foundation? One brick at a time. One brick at a time. You got to start somewhere. You got to start repairing the foundation. If the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? You see, if there's no foundation, there's no hope. We got to get back to repairing the foundations. But it has to start in your own heart. That's ultimately where it begins, in your heart. Then your home. And then the church. Then society, and then the nation. Are the foundations in your heart being destroyed? You see, that's where it starts. And that's where the real problem is. It's all in the heart. You see, our nation no longer has a heart for God. Christians seemingly don't have much heart for God anymore. In the things of God. And we're just seeing the product of the heart problem that we all have. Say, preacher, you got a heart problem. There's times I really have a heart problem. And God says, you need to repair that foundation, son. You need to change how you're thinking about a few things. You need to change how you're looking at things and what you're thinking about and what you're doing. You say, how do you do that? By getting on your knees and reading that Bible, start repairing the foundation. Let's stand for prayer. Let's bow our head, close your eyes, and I ask you.